Peter McGee is head of the Family Law Division at a national law firm called Armstrong Legal, specialising in family law problems, and the family court going through a bit of a rough patch. Peter boldly has suggested that it's time to have a complete rethink. Peter, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
Interestingly, the Attorney General, Senator George Brandis, has just announced there's a review of the family court and looking at folding it into the federal court. But what's wrong with the family court before we look at how to fix it?
The problem is the delays. At the moment, it's a case of if we're starting a case today, we can't tell clients to expect the result within for 3 to 4 years.
Years?
And 3 to 4 years, and that means that children are growing up in the system and others that even if they don't have children are in a state of paralysis about their finances. And so the system's clearly broken and needs a review and a change.
Okay, now we could go on for quite a while about why it's broken. The people who work in the system regularly say, well, judges leave and aren't reappointed. There's no one appointed to replace them, and there's legal aid's virtually unobtainable. You've either got to be incredibly poor or whatever it might be. Wealthy people can afford lawyers, incredibly poor people get them, and everyone in the middle is stuck. I mean, there's all sorts of issues there.
We can certainly point the finger at resourcing, but in the current climate, I can't see that there's going to be a fundamental shift in the government's attitude to family law and create the resourcing that's necessary to fix the problem with the current system in place.
Hundreds of millions of dollars would be needed, and no one's about to do that, are they?
Absolutely.
So what's your suggestion?
My suggestion is that the court has dabbled within the Family Law Act with the prospect of having arbitrations, which are effectively private judges, as you've indicated. And they've dabbled with it. The system, there's been provision for it for some time. But in my view, they haven't gone far enough so that it's a bit of a distraction rather than a real solution.
Who pays?
It would be the parties that pay, but in circumstances where if you're in the court system for 3 to 4 years, the cost of being involved in the system for 3 to 4 years would be fundamentally more than what it would cost to have private arbitrators able to resolve a dispute in, I would propose, 90 days.
At the moment, there are people who go off, and very often it's within a religious community. They go off and have a private arbitration, either in some of the more devout Christian communities do it, the Muslim community do it, I know the Jewish community do it. There are people who in those communities say, look, we'll get the religious figure to sort out our differences rather than going and airing our dirty linen in the secular courts. Is this an extension of that kind of approach?
It is an extension of that kind of approach, and it works in those communities because of the respect that ties them together, so that there's no one going to walk away and say, I don't accept the decision, and there's no one has a vested interest in making sure the process doesn't work. Unfortunately, in the family law system, those that don't have the ties to a community in that way have a vested interest, at times a vested interest in the delay. Inevitably, in a court case, the delay will benefit one person or the other. And so, really, as a lawyer providing advice to your client, part of that advice, if you're providing it properly, is whether or not we want to push things on quickly or whether the delay suits us.
How do you enforce a decision of a private judge?
That's part of where the change to the rules need to come into play from the government through their reforms. The arbitrations that are available through the Act at the moment do provide for an arbitrator to make a decision, but there is a provision whereby there can be an objection to the registration of that decision.
So the parties go off, they agree to go to a private judge, they go to a private judge, they sort out their problems, sign a document and say this is how we're going to divide things up or what we're going to do about the kids. And then one of them later on says, oh, well, I'm not bound by that, even though I signed it, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, the Family Law Act has a provision that says that if there's been a denial of natural justice or there's been bias on the part of the arbitrator, that there can be an objection to having that award registered with the court. Now, I've got to say, if you perceive that a judge hasn't provided natural justice or a judge has been biased in relation to making of a decision, you've got a right of appeal. And I don't understand why there shouldn't be an alteration so that if you don't like the decision of an arbitrator for those reasons, you don't have the same right of appeal rather than going back in the queue and having a judge in the family court remake the decision. You go to an appeal the same as if a judge had made the decision.
All right. Now, private judges also, I mean, the family court at the moment has mediation. In other words, they try and get people to resolve their own problem. There's also counselling.
Yes.
And there's special protections for people where there's a suggestion of violence or sexual abuse.
Yes.
How do you provide all of that within the context of a private arbitration?
Well, the answer is in terms of a private arbitration. It's not for everyone and in all cases. And the truth of the matter is in terms of the Attorney General proposing his review of the family law system is relying upon what he describes as a more collaborative approach so that there is a greater emphasis on mediation and people resolving things for themselves. The problem with that is that it's not well known that year on year, between 95 and 97% of family law cases are resolved without the judge making a decision. So I don't think there's a lot of wriggle room to move the 95 to 97 much higher when the 95 to 97, when the 3 to 5% that don't get decided are involved in a 3 to 4 year wait. And you've got other cases that are suitable to be resolved, but because of the advantage that's available by virtue of the delay, people won't settle because they've got a benefit from not settling.
One of the problems that then comes to my mind then, Peter, is that if you take all the so-called low-hanging fruit, the easy cases or the ones that are capable of being well resolved by an expert private judge,
yes,
you take them out of the system, you take the people who are pragmatic, who are not emotionally wrought, and family court's full of them, but if you take all of those away, you're kind of condemning the family court as it's currently standing. It becomes the too hard basket court. Does it not?
No, John, the thing that I disagree with about that proposition is that just because cases can't settle doesn't mean that they're in the too hard basket. Say, for example, if you've got one parent is given a job opportunity to work in London.
Yep, or move interstate, and that's the source of endless dispute.
It doesn't mean that either of them are bad parent. It doesn't mean that either of them have done anything wrong. They just don't agree where the kids are going to live. If they can't resolve that, and it's not a matter of compromise, of rather than being between Sydney and Melbourne, we'll move to Canberra and go halfway. It doesn't work for anybody.
No.
So although it's a complex thing to determine, it's a matter of getting to a decision quickly allows both parts of this broken family to move on.
Understood. But if you leave out, for instance, cases where there's sexual abuse or allegations of violence and so on, or the intractable belligerent litigants,
sure,
then they are the only ones. The family court becomes absolutely just the court of last resort almost.
Well, even in relation to those cases, they're still, in my view, with appropriate smart professionals, and I'm not talking about amateurs, but smart professionals that have done this for a career, able to make these decisions and allowing these people to move on with their lives in the same way that a judge would be. The arbitrators from which we'd be drawing on would be from the same pool of people that we'd be drawing on for judges. And in many cases, they may be retired judges.
Yep. Or practitioners who have just got to the stage in their career where they just can't quite get excited about doing another case, but they're happy to try and resolve them.
Absolutely.
There's plenty of people in that category. Look, it's certainly, I think you described it in your document that you sent to me as a paradigm shift. It's actually more than that. It's a cultural shift.
It is.
It requires a massive rethink, and I hope it gets considered at the highest levels. Let's see what happens. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.